My name is Pat, and I'm presiding today. Alan is our preacher, and we're very grateful for Gloria, who is our musician today. A warm welcome to all, and do plan to stay for refreshments following our worship. They're served here in the body of the church. I think, dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Christ, for whom we search, our help when help has failed, give us courage to expose our need and ask to be made whole, so that, being touched by you, we may be raised to new life in the power of your name. Amen.
La première lecture. Dieu, lui, n'a pas fait la mort, il ne prend pas plaisir à la perte des vivants, car il a créé tous les êtres pour qu'ils subsistent et dans le monde, les générations sont solitaires. En l'air, il n'y a pas d'oiseau funeste et la domination de l'Hadès ne s'exerce pas sur la terre, car la justice est immortelle. Or, Dieu a créé l'homme pour qu'il soit incorruptible et il l'a fait image de ce qu'il possède en propre. Mais la jalousie du diable et la mort est entrée dans le monde. Il a subi ce qui se range dans son parti. C'est la parole de Dieu.
While I felt secure, I Second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of Christ.
In today's Gospel, we got two stories woven together. There are two incidents separate, each with its key character, who is important. But they are written as one story, interrupted by the intrusion of another, and completed before returning to the first. That's the order I'm going to stick to. I like reading it combined rather than separating out and making two stories, one for this week, one for next, or however we might choose to deal with it. So I'm going to deal with it together. So, the first thing we might observe is that in both stories, the key person takes the initiative in dealing with Jesus. He's not seeking them out. They come to get him. Each is part of a desperate and hopeless situation. Now, Jairus, the officer of the synagogue, throws himself at Jesus' feet. He repeatedly begs him to come and to help. Sometimes, when they're just stories, we lose some of the impact. But you can maybe touch some of the pain and the panic he must have felt by this situation by allowing yourself to imagine having a similar experience for your own child, or I know in some cases you don't need to imagine, it does happen in our life. But the pain and the panic that would come into Jairus' heart and mind is palpable. Desperate enough for an officer of the synagogue to beg and to throw himself down at Jesus' feet. And so, Jesus, responding to that request, to that need, went on the way. There was a very large crowd still pressing on him from the earlier experience in his teaching. And they were not a quiet crowd. They made a lot of commotion, bumped into each other, and all the things you can think of. And if you don't know, try Monday over at the Breton Flats for the celebration, and you'll get an idea if history is anything to go by. Anyway, in that setting, a nameless person just joins the crowd. Who would notice? Indeed, who would care? She was profoundly desperate. For 12 years, she had suffered from an apparently incurable hemorrhage. That means 12 years, the life of Jairus' dying daughter, the whole lifespan. 12 years trying every art of the physician, spending all her money on health care, and it would appear to no avail. For those 12 years, she would live isolated from the mainstream of her religious life and of her social life. She touched his cloak. She knew that would be enough. She knew at that moment she was cured. But wait, Jesus also knew what had happened. In the midst of all that, he had felt the power going out of him and into her to give life. So he said to the person who had done that, who had touched the hem of his garment, "Who are you? Identify yourself." And the disciples would say, "Really, Jesus? In that crowd, you can tell? Come on." And the synagogue leaders said, "Well, forget our task. It's too late. She's dead. You've dawdled enough on this one, and we've lost her." But the woman very happily identifies herself. She knew from the touch that she was cured. And now, after she talked to Jesus and he heard her whole story and whatever else it was they shared during that encounter, he told her, "Your faith has made you whole." There is a difference between being cured and being made whole. And she had experienced both. And when Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole," it wasn't some kind of magical incantation or whatever. But in fact, what she had done is she had refused to give up the path of healing until it opened to her. She refused to give up the path of healing. She knew it was there. And she wouldn't give up, whatever she did, even to touching the hem of his garment, until she experienced that path opened. So her story is done. And then we move on to the leader's home. His colleagues had already said, "Forget it. It's just been too much." But when they got there, there was great weeping and wailing. There was a tremendous commotion around his home as they mourned the little girl, well, I don't know how little she was, the girl's death. And they laughed at Jesus for being bothered now. He'd already blown it. So they laughed at Jesus. And they lamented Jairus' inability to accept the truth of his daughter's death. In the middle of all that, Jesus simply took Jairus and the daughter's mother and brought them quietly to the room where the daughter was lying. He gently took her hand and said, "Little girl, get up." And she did. Easy as that. And her story was done too. Now, in these two stories, that are, in kind of a way, one, or can be seen as one. There certainly are a number of similarities, but also there are differences, real differences. And the main one was Jairus was the leader of the synagogue. The other key character, a nameless woman. He had power, security, and all the benefits of his position. She had pain, rejection, loneliness, her ritual uncleanness. An uncleanness which would not even have allowed her to enter Jairus' synagogue, let alone have anything to do with him. So we see that picture. As the early part of the story unfolds, Jesus is hurrying to Jairus' home. Time is of the essence. Yet he stops to search out and converse with this unclean woman without a name. Amazing. Appalling. She is no less important, that act says, than the child of this prominent religious leader. No wonder Jesus was constantly getting in trouble. I lost the page, but I think I know what was in it. If you find a page of my sermon anywhere, do return it. Anyway, so that's the picture that was being given, and the lost is found. So we are able to be reminded thereby that the socially and religiously marginalized have a conspicuous place in the realization of God's reign, because that's what each of these acts were about. God's reign being realized in the life, in the person, in the movement of Jesus Christ. One of the vital differences between what we accomplish and what is made available through the marvelous gift of the reign of God. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. Attach whatever name you wish to it. That was the whole point of the encounter where the touching of the hem cured the woman, but her healing came when she encountered and had a conversation with Jesus as a representative of the community of the new reign of God. And so, as we should with all our stories, we come to the point of saying, so what? What's it matter? We've read those two. Well, you put in the adjective when you think, whether you think it's a nice story or an otherwise story. We say, so what? Well, Jesus reminds us in them that the power of holiness is the ability to regenerate life wherever Jesus and Jesus' people go. That's what was happening. As Jesus came to the point of the real need, that's where the healing happened. That's where the wholeness was experienced. That's where life was given. While the context and the purpose are quite different, I think we can see something of that expressed in the passage from Corinthians, which we read this morning too. where Paul, in a financial campaign, points out that all is rooted in the grace of God and Jesus. And it is through that grace and that grace alone that we do anything. It is that grace given freely, overflowing within us, that overflows and flows generously to whoever is in need. We don't do it ourselves, but it doesn't get done without us. We enter that incredible period of grace in which we are bathed by the beautiful overflow of God's love becoming active and present through Jesus Christ. And so, if that gets something of a so what, the next so what is, what are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? It challenges each of us as individuals and our community as a community and the communities of which we are a part that extend much more broadly. We are challenged to discern, and having discerned, to do some development of the points in our life or the programs we know and experience where we see that the participation in the healing of Jesus extends through that work to the world. Find that and do something about it. That's what happened. For the woman who touches and knows a cure, who talks with him and is healed. To the official who insists that Jesus come, who tells Jesus, tells Jesus his daughter's story, who accompanies him into that room to see Jesus' hand take hers, who hears the words, get up, who watches as she does. The power of the kingdom working in our midst is the power by which we are able to allow the grace of God to flow to pain, to suffering, to death and horror. Our God, our Jesus, will do that once we're ready to join in. Amen.
Almighty and heavenly God, through this day we have said your name in gladness and pondered the world you have called good. We have marveled in amazement at the wonder of your Son, Jesus, who has died and is alive among us, healing and giving life. We come to you this day with hearts full of faith, saying, Lord, in your mercy, and responding, hear our prayer. We pray for those in leadership roles in our parish, Gary, Alan, Pat, Christina, Barb, Monica, Jeff, Marianne, Carrie, Jesse, Barb, and all who minister here at St. John's. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, Chris, Indigenous Archbishop, and Linda, our primate, guard and direct your church in the way of unity, service, and praise. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in authority, our Prime Minister, our Premiers and Mayors, that they will serve for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the earth that you love. Help us to care for our island home that you created for all creatures to thrive and share. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for this month celebrating our indigenous peoples. May we continue on the path of truth and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for children and young adults who begin their summer holidays. Keep them safe and happy. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the upcoming renovations, that construction will proceed easily and that the revised space will open up new opportunities to serve our community. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the frail, especially for Connie Snellgrove's mother, Juanita, for Barb, Diana, Sarah, Marcella, Pat, and Wilma, and for all those in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who are caught in the midst of violence and turmoil, especially for those living in the many areas of conflict around the world. We pray for those who seek safety and refuge far from their homes and give thanks for those who welcome and assist them. We pray for the peacemakers that they may bring hope out of despair, peace out of conflict, and prosperity out of poverty. Lord, in your mercy. As the body of Christ, may our trust and faith grow each day so that we are able to humbly reach out in the name of Jesus and touch others in moments of need. Lord, in your mercy. Guide our ministries as we live each day determined to spread the good news of the gospel. Merciful God, accept our prayers as we walk with you and towards you. For the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
ways to love and serve the Lord.